There's a sheet that says Ministry of God's Word. If you'll please stand for the reading of God's Holy Word. Last week we began a study of some of the parables in Scripture. And so we continue with that today as we take a look at the parable of the vineyard workers from Matthew chapter 20, 1 through 16. Jesus is telling, of course, the parable. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came, and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "Friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last." Father, we know that we are the people you have called, for we are here. Your grace is ever flowing to us, and for that, Lord, we are thankful not just today, but we will be forever thankful. May we realize there is no bound to your grace that is ever flowing, that is ever available, that it is there whether we realize it or not. Open our ears, Lord, today, and open our hearts to receive the word that you have prepared for us to hear this day. In Jesus' name, amen. What is a parable? What is a parable? You know, in Sunday school, children are taught that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. An earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It is a story placed alongside of a teaching. Here's the story, here's the teaching, side by side. For what purpose? To teach a spiritual truth. And as you know, Jesus told many, many parables. Many of them, the people could not understand. And he did that on purpose. Do you know why? Do you know why he did that on purpose? Because he wanted people searching for it. He wanted people to search after him and search after his ways. Not just handed perfectly. And so to the disciples, many times he would explain the parables. But he wanted the people really to be looking and searching and knowing the truth. This morning, we're going to take a look at this parable. Jesus told this parable. He told this parable after he told the story of the rich young ruler, which is back in chapter 19. As a result of him telling the parable, the story of the rich young ruler, the disciples asked him some questions. His answer is this parable. And in this parable, he tells us about three truths of grace. And I want to invite you to take this sheet, turn it over. Turn it over and take some notes this morning. Why? As I say every week, so that later in the week, you'll take this out. You know, that's always my hope, you know. I don't know if you do that. That's my hope, that later in the week, you take this out and look at these things. But I really don't know if you do that or not, but I hope you do. Get these truths in your heart. Before I begin to explain this parable, you have to know one important thing. The landowner represents God. The landowner represents God. You need to know that before we move on any farther in this. He represents God. Three truths about God's grace. The first one is grace never ends. Grace never ends. It's never ending. It's always available to us. It's always there. Whether we realize it or not, it's always available to us, flowing to us in so many different ways, interacting in our life, if we choose to. We limit the power of grace by only limiting it to salvation. We limit it only to salvation, but there is much more to grace. Much more to grace. The landowner, who of course is God, goes out five times looking for workers. Now, I want to clarify something else. This parable is not about necessarily you going out to work. It's not necessarily about you going out and working harder for the cause of Christ. If you noticed, I said there are three truths about grace in this parable. It's a parable about grace. It's a parable about grace. The landowner goes out five times looking for workers. The first group, I'm going to say he goes out 6 a.m. Now, it doesn't tell us that in Scripture, that he went out 6 a.m. I am saying that. And you're saying, why should I say that? Well, because if you know anything about Jewish culture, the workday for them began at 6 a.m. Our day for us in the morning begins at 12 a.m. Our day for us, 12 a.m. Their day began at 6 a.m. That was the day they began, at 6 a.m. So that first group, he went out, and as he looked out, there were a lot of workers, and he probably said, okay, you, come on and work for me. And then he went out again the third hour, which is 9 a.m. The third hour is 9 a.m. And again, he went out looking for workers. You, come in and work. Then he went out the sixth hour, we're told, which is 12 noon. The other ones have been working already 6 hours, the first ones. They went out 12 noon, picked some more workers to come. He went out again the ninth hour, picked some more workers to come and work. He went out one more time, the 11th hour, which is about 5 p.m. 5 p.m. and got workers again. And they came in. Now, I want to tell you this. God doesn't call people just one time. You may have relatives who don't know the Lord. In fact, I'm sure all of us have relatives who don't know the Lord. And what I mean by that, they're not living for Him. They're living for themselves. They have not received Christ. So that for many people today in the United States, it's all about fulfilling a duty. I am going to go to church. Now I've done my duty. Now I can do what I want. But that's not what Christianity is all about. But God doesn't just call people one time. The purpose of Him going out five times is to tell us, to show us, He reaches out multiple times. How do you know that God is interested in your family? And I've said this before. How do you know God is interested in your family? Because He saved you. Because he saves you. If you're saved, you know he's interested in your family. Many of you don't know where your family members are. Grace never ends. It's always there. He's always calling to us. He's always reaching out to us. You know, Stacy, my wife, her father died when she was 2 years old. Her mother married again when Stacy was six, her stepfather, Cash. Not Johnny. Not Johnny. No. But 18 years ago, I received a phone call that he had had a massive heart attack. Stacy was teaching. So I called her and I went to pick her up. I picked her up. We drove to Youngstown. When we got there, we found out that he had flatlined. Stacy was praying the whole time as we were going to Youngstown. She went into the ladies' room and was both crying and also praying still yet. She continued to pray. And the nurse came in and said, "Your dad's awake." We had a couple weeks. He was of a different denomination. The denomination that I had left. And although Stacy had witnessed to him a number of times, we still weren't sure. Had opportunities to say goodbye to him, but we still didn't know. And Stacy witnessed to him. In a couple of weeks, he went into a coma. We were away at the time. We came back. And we decided, let's witness to him one more time. He's in a coma, and he has a breathing tube in. In a coma, and has a breathing tube in. And I began to share the gospel message with him. Had no sign of anything that he could hear or even understood or what, because he wasn't awake. And it came to the part, and I said to him, "Cash, would you like to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior?" That's what we saw. No accident. At just that time that I said it, his head went like this. So we prayed with him. We prayed with him. And we know without a doubt where he is. That's a great story, isn't it? It's not just a story, it's true. And I can tell you other ones like that that I've experienced as a pastor over many, many, many years. Why do I tell you that story? To encourage you. To encourage you about God's grace. How he goes out many times. When is it too late for your children? When is it too late for your family members? Only after they pass on. But I believe that God is always reaching out all the time. I used to tell a story, well, I guess I have to tell it now. I wasn't going to tell this one. There's a story of a woman who felt that God was telling her not to go on this airplane. I think I told this about maybe 7 or 8 years ago. And it was very, very strong, so she did not. That plane crashed. And as she was being interviewed after, that she did not get on that plane because she felt so strongly. "Why did you not?" And she said, "Because God told me not to." And so the reporter asked her, "You mean to tell me you were the only one that God said not to do that to?" She says, "No, I don't believe that about my God. I think my God was speaking to everyone, but I was the only one who listened." And I believe God is reaching out to us all the time with grace. Just as this parable shows us, five times the landowner who represents God went out looking, not for workers, but people to come in. And he called them at different times. He called them at different times. God's grace is not based on a performance. You can never work your way into heaven. You can't earn your way into heaven. You can never be good enough to get into heaven. You can never be good enough Because Jesus says, be perfect as my heavenly Father is perfect. And the last time I checked, there is no one who's perfect except Jesus. And so in order to get into heaven, you have to be perfect unless you take hold of Christ in your life. Unless you take hold of Christ in your life. When the time came for the workers to be paid, the landowner instructed his foreman, pay the ones who were hired last first, and pay them a denarius, which of course was the same amount that he promised to pay the first workers who had worked all those many hours. When those who were hired first found out that the people who only worked 1 hour were paid the same amount as they who worked all day, they complained to him. And of course, as we look at this, as we look at this parable at the surface, I know, because I'm old man Zoller, you're thinking in your heart, it isn't fair. It's not fair that they worked all those hours and they're getting paid the same thing as the people who worked 1 hour. Because we're looking at it from a human standpoint and from a working standpoint. It's not about performance. Salvation is not about performance. The ones hired first thought the owner was unfair. They thought he was unfair. But the owner, who is God, he says, friend, I am not being unfair to you. I am not being unfair to you. God was fair to those first workers. He gave them exactly what he promised. He hired them. He said, I will pay you a denarius if you work the whole day. They were happy to do that. Now look at it this way. When he went out to pick the first workers, they weren't working. They weren't going to earn anything that day. And Jesus said, the first workers, I'll pick you. It was grace that they were even picked. It was grace that they were even picked to come in and work in his vineyard. They didn't do anything. They received God's grace to come and pick. But of course, our hearts all the time, they were chosen first to work. Look at it this way. Maybe God chose them first. You know, you look like a good work. I'm going to choose you. You look like a good work. I'm going to choose you. He saw something in them and picked them to come and work. But again, we look at our idea of fairness. Anytime our expectations aren't met, what do? Wah, call the wambulance. Right? Anytime our expectations are met, husbands and wives, we disappoint one another all the time. Wah, call the wambulance. Anytime our expectations aren't met, we complain. We're like this. We're always counting our M&Ms. We're always counting our M&Ms to see who got more. Oh, Natty, I think you got more M&Ms than I did. Or typically when we're younger, maybe kids or teenagers, maybe even in our early 20s, we're at a party and someone gets a bigger piece of cake than you. You're going, well, I got it. My piece of cake is only like this. Theirs is like this. One thing I could tell you, no one ever got more ice cream than me. And that's not because I put less on them. They say, that's all I want. Although I am watching now. I am watching the ice cream that I eat now, but I would eat so much. But we're always counting our M&Ms. We think, and we're concerned, we want to make sure that someone isn't getting more than us. How many of you want to be treated fairly by God? Don't raise your hand. How many of you want to be treated fairly by God? That's what those workers wanted. You understand now the parable, don't you? They wanted to be treated what they thought was fair. You don't want fairness from God. You don't want God's fairness. Because if you get God's fairness, what you get is what you deserve. What you deserve, and all of us deserve. What we all deserve. Or if you remember, I don't know why these things come to my mind. Anybody remember the movie The Robe back then? You remember the movie The Robe? There was the Roman Emperor Nero, and he's saying, "Die, Christian, die." And he would put his thumb down like that. Bob, you remember that, don't you? I'm not the only one. How many remember that? Thank you so much. Thank you so much. You don't want God's fairness. Because you want God's grace. If God never does another thing for you again, if he never answers another prayer, you have, if you're a Christian, received more than what we deserve in God's grace. If he never answers another prayer for you, you have received God's grace if you're a Christian. God owes us nothing. He owes us absolutely nothing. You know, I have favorite stories. And one of my favorite stories concerns Billy Graham when he was a young preacher. He was traveling down south, and he got picked up for speeding. Yes, Billy Graham got picked up for speeding. And he was told by the police officer he would have to appear before the judge. And so he did. He went before the judge, and the judge said to him, "You're fine." Now, you got to remember how long ago this was. It's $10. $1 for every mile that you were going over the speed limit. And then as the judge said that, he looked down at him and recognized that it was Billy Graham. And he said to him, "You are guilty. The fine must be paid." The judge stood up, pulled out his wallet, took a $10 bill and attached it to the fine ticket and gave it to the bailiff and said, "Now, it has been paid. Now let me take you out to a steak dinner." That's grace, isn't it? That's grace. Next time you get a ticket, you can say to the police officer, "You know, why don't you do what they did to Billy Graham when he was a young man?" And he said, "What's that? Take me out to a steak dinner." Anyway, that happened. Third thing, God's grace is lavish. The landowner, who is God, says, "Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you so envious because I am generous?" The parable is really about the generosity of God. It's about God's generosity. The first workers weren't cheated. They received exactly what the landowner had said they would be paid. The last group was paid more than they deserved. There are so many lessons in this parable. So many lessons. Are we envious when we see someone else getting the same thing as us? Are we envious when we feel like we're working harder and these people aren't? What about the thief on the cross who came to Christ at the last hour, the last bit? And someone maybe who has served Christ their whole life. The last group was paid more than they deserved. Salvation doesn't come to those who work the hardest because it is not based upon what you do. It is based upon God's grace. God's grace. It is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves, so that no one can boast. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. You have been saved by grace through faith. This not of yourselves. Grace is God's divine favor given free of charge. Grace is God's divine favor, which we see throughout this parable, given free of charge. We typically say grace is unmerited favor, and that's true. But grace is much more than divine favor given free of charge for salvation. It is much more than unmerited favor. And whenever I talk about grace, I always talk about what I'm going to share with you now. Because we limit grace only to salvation. And grace has so much more attached to it. Let me show you. Grace is an active power that's always working in us. It is a power. It's an active power. It's always working within us, always working in us. Whether you realize it or not, we look at grace, as I said from the beginning, we look at grace just for means for salvation. But we know this, we're saved by grace. And you can look all these up. We don't have time for that this morning. You can look all these up on your own. We're saved by grace, Ephesians 2:8. Grace enables you to believe the gospel. It is by God's grace that you believe the gospel. 3, grace empowers us to serve. If we're not serving Christ, it's not because the grace isn't there. It's because the want to isn't. 4, grace empowers us with spiritual gifts. We're told every Christian has at least one spiritual gift. Every Christian has at least one spiritual gift. 5, grace enables us to live godly lives. The grace is there. The grace is there. The power, it's an active power. Do we want to live godly lives? 6, grace strengthens us when we're weak. When you're feeling weak, Lord, I need more grace. I need your power, Lord. I am so weak. Grace enables us to stand firm in times that we're not. And as grace is available, are we asking for it? If you remember in Scripture, a couple of times the disciples asked Jesus, increase our faith. Increase our faith. They realized they needed more faith. Increase our faith. Grace edifies and builds us up. It makes us stronger for Him. 9, grace empowers you to tithe and give sacrificially. And of course, the grace is there. It's the want to there. 10, grace strengthens us to witness for Him. And 11, grace enables us to continue in faith. I can continue, I can go on because of grace. I showed you a picture of Billy Graham when he was young. This is a couple of years before he passed on. I hope all of you know that Billy Graham is in glory now. He's in heaven. He died last year. I'm sure that the minute he went up to heaven, he received many crowns and rewards many times over. But I want to tell you this. The cleaning lady. The cleaning lady who works very hard cleaning offices every day, but on her lunch hour went and prayed for the ministry of Billy Graham. Will, when that time comes, come forward before God and receive many rewards. As I look out here this morning, I see that there are many of you that do many things behind the scenes. And you will say this, I am not doing enough. I didn't do too much. You may think you were hired last, but I want to tell you, you will go at that time and you will receive many rewards. I read a story of a pastor many, many years ago who felt very, very badly. He died, was standing before God, and he said to God, I am so ashamed because in all the years of my ministry, I only brought 5 people to the Lord in all those years. The Lord said to that pastor, I want you to look behind you. And the pastor looked behind him, and there were hundreds and hundreds of people. And he said, those 5 people that you brought to me, each of them went out, and they brought others, and they went out and they brought others, and they went out and they brought others, and they went out and they brought others. So that what you did was the catalyst for all of these hundreds of people to be saved. There's a story of an old Indian who constantly spoke to his friends about the grace of God. And finally, one of his friends said, why are you always talking to us about God? He didn't say anything. He went and he got some twigs and he got some grass and he made a circle about like this, about that big. He got a caterpillar, put the caterpillar in the middle of the circle. He got a match and lit the twigs and the grass, and so that all that whole circle was fire. And they watched. They watched as the caterpillar went this way and couldn't get through, went that way, couldn't get through, went that way, could not find a place of escape. That Indian went and stuck his finger down in the middle of that circle. That caterpillar crawled up his finger. And he said, that is what Jesus did for me. I was trapped and I was lost, and he stooped down and took me out of the fire that I should have had by his grace and his mercy. Many of you, perhaps most of you, never heard of Robert Murray McShane. He lived in the 1800s, and he served in the Church of Scotland. Church of Scotland. At any rate, he said this. He said, when I stand before the throne, dressed in beauty, not my own, when I see thee as thou art, love thee with unsinning heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know how much I owe. We, I think, don't realize just how much grace is available to us in so many different things because we limit the power of his grace. My desire as pastor is that your knowledge is increased about grace. So that when these times come upon you, no matter what it is, you don't try to just do it on your own and you're, oh, look at me. Although that might happen for a while. But then you go to the author and perfecter of our faith, Jesus Christ, who has all the grace that we need. More and more, that's ever flowing. It never ends. It's always there. All we have to do is ask for it. It's there. Amen. Amen. Take a couple of minutes. Look inside. Ask the Holy Spirit to shine upon your heart so that as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we take this and celebrate this without any stain upon our heart. Confess whatever you may have to our Lord, because only he can forgive our sins. Only he. You know, John Newton wrote that song, that hymn. I'm not telling you a whole story. In fact, I didn't plan on telling you any story. But as a young boy, his mother passed away. He went to work on a slave ship, grew up, and at some point he remembered the scripture verses his mom used to teach him. And he came to Christ, he got saved. And he still worked on that slave ship. He would go, the ship, and he would go and get slaves. It didn't dawn on him until sometime later, what am I doing? What am I doing? I am a Christian and I'm still doing this. He wrote this hymn about God's amazing grace. God can forgive. I want to encourage you, if you don't even know what I'm talking about, and you're out there this morning, you have no knowledge, and you don't understand what, well, this grace, how's this work? How can I really get to heaven? Because you're not sure. You still think, I'm going to live the best life I can. Well, no matter how good you live, it's not going to be good enough. And Pastor Stephen will be over here, on this side over here. He would love to tell you the story. Or, if you feel that you don't want to go down and people are going to see you going down, people go down all the time for things. On your way up, hey, can I talk to you? I'd be happy to talk with you. The elders will be up here immediately to be praying for any need that you have. And Scripture tells us to call the elders if we need prayer for any kind of sickness whatsoever. They would be happy to pray for you. Remember to be praying for Luann and be praying for Angela this whole week. They're going to have a lot of information thrown at them, and I can't wait for them to come back and hear all the good things that happen. God bless you this week. God bless you this week. Hang in there. That's not in the Bible. But hang in there and keep on looking to Him for all things. Will you dismiss us, Pastor Stephen?
Dear Father, we thank you for sending your Son. We thank you that although we don't deserve it, Lord, you freely offer your grace, Lord. We thank you for loving us despite ourselves, Lord. We pray that we will always marvel at your grace. We pray that we learn to love you more, to need you more, to seek you more, Lord. I pray for everybody here, Lord. Bless them, watch over them, and keep them, Lord. Watch over them in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.